Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew 26, verses 33 and 34. Matthew 26, verse 33 and 34. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And our subject this morning is Simon Peter falling short. Simon Peter falling short. Well, we come this morning to these tremendous words before us and this very well-known event in Scripture recorded in all the four Gospels. When something is recorded in all the four Gospels, every Gospel, you know it is a momentous event and one that we are to take much notice of. And this incident is recorded in all four Gospels. It's a prophecy, really, a prophecy given by the Lord Jesus Christ concerning one of his own disciples, concerning Simon Peter. And Simon Peter, well, you know who he is. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he ministered on earth, had 12 disciples. Simon Peter was the leader. He was the foremost disciple. Whenever the names of the disciples are published in the Gospels, it is his name that appears first, Simon Peter. And this is amazing that Simon was the leader. When you think of who Simon was, he was a man of low social status, a man of lowly trade. He was a fisherman. He was uneducated. He wasn't a religious man. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't a scribe or a Pharisee. He was a fisherman, a lowly fisherman. And yet it was him, Simon Peter, who was chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ to be the head of the disciples. And well, we could say a lot about that, just that one point. So many of Christ's disciples, the followers of Christ, they are not great men. They are not rich men or powerful men. Generally, the character of the Lord's people, they are lowly men. That's generally the character of the Lord's people. As the Apostle Paul said, not many wise men after the flesh are called, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things. He's chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. That's what God did. That's what Christ did, who is God. He didn't go to the kings of the world, will you be my disciples? He didn't go to the high priest, will you be my disciple? No, he chose the weak things, the foolish things. The fishermen, the tax collectors, you will be my disciples. That's who God chooses. That's the heart of God. That's the nature of God's people. And so Simon Peter, an uneducated, lowly fisherman, he is the foremost disciple. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to consider. But as glorious as it was for Simon Peter to be a disciple of Christ, well, what is being described here is a very sad event, the saddest event, no doubt, of Simon Peter's life. And many of you are aware of what Simon Peter does when the Lord Jesus Christ, at the end of his life, he is betrayed, he is arrested, he is brought before the high priest, and he is tried, a sham trial. And, well, we know what happens. Simon Peter denies his Lord. He denies that he ever knows the Lord Jesus Christ, not just once, but three times. And it's a terrible thing. Make no mistake about it. It's the saddest day of Simon Peter's life when he denies Christ. And what makes it worse, what makes Simon's denial worse, is that he clearly states and boasts that he would never deny Christ. That's what makes it worse. He says that he would not deny Christ very clearly. Verse 33, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. But Jesus said unto him, this is the prophecy. Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Three times, that's what it means. Thrice, Peter would deny him three times. But let us look at these words of Simon Peter, because, these words are very interesting. Although they are sad in some ways, there are many gospel applications that we can draw from them. Peter answered, verse 33, and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Now, that word offended, well, you can actually give two meanings to that word in this context. Two meanings. The first meaning is the one that we would obviously attach to the word offended. When we are offended, we know what that means. When we are offended, well, it means that we are disturbed, we are troubled about something. And, it's very common, of course, isn't it, that all men are offended at Christ. All men are offended at Christ. The world around us, they're offended by Christ, by the gospel, by the Christian faith. The world is offended. Mind you, we live in a world that's very easily offended, even by the smallest thing. And to offend someone is perhaps the greatest crime you could ever commit nowadays. But, maybe that's why Christianity is so unpopular, because it offends people. People, have you tried speaking to people about the gospel? You see how easily they are offended. You talk about creation, how God created the world, they're offended. I don't want to hear about God creating the world. I believe in evolution. Don't talk to me about creation. We believe in evolution. We don't want creation being spoken of. We don't want it being taught in the schools. We're offended at that. We don't want this account in Genesis. God created the world. God created man. God created them male and female. If you say that, God created them male and female, people are so offended. How dare you say this? God created them male and female. Even that is a great offense to people. We don't want to hear that. We want to design our own genders. We want to have our own identity. All men, they are offended in Christ. When you speak about Christ being the only way to God, the only way to God, people are offended. We don't believe in one way. What about all the other religions? That's so offensive to all the other religions. If you say there's only one way, we take offense. That's what the world says. So these words are very true that Peter says here. All men shall be offended because of thee. All men are offended because of Christ. And we could mention other things, but this is very true. But there is another way of interpreting the word offended here. And really it's meaning to stumble. Though all men shall be offended, shall stumble because of thee, yet will I never be offended. I will never stumble. I will never fall. It means to sin, to not meet an expected standard. And this is one of the great reasons why all men are offended at Christ, at the gospel, because the Bible teaches us that we are all sinners. That's why people are offended. All men fall short of the holy standard. Do we understand this? we are all held to a great standard, not a standard that is made by men, but a standard that is made by God, a holy standard. That is what every man, woman, and child is held to. And we see the standard in the Word of God. We see it in the Ten Commandments. That's the standard that we are all judged by. And the Bible says we all fall short. Every single one of us has fallen short of the standard. Now, sometimes, not very often, but sometimes you meet people who insist they have not fallen short. They have not broken the moral law. They say to you, I haven't broken God's law. You show me the Ten Commandments, I can keep every single one. They think that they're good people. They're a bit like Simon Peter, you see. Simon Peter, he had a very high view of himself. Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Simon Peter, he seems to have a low view of everybody else, but a high view of himself. And that's very common. People who were, they're very quick to see the faults in everybody else, in other people. This person is selfish. This person is greedy. This person is lazy. They're very quick to see the faults in everybody else, but they can't see the faults in themselves. That's a terrible thing. That's what Simon Peter is saying here. Everybody else, all the other disciples, they will let you down, but not me. I'm special. I'm strong. So many people like that nowadays. Everybody else in the world is a sinner, but not me. I'm a good person. I'm right with God. I can keep the law. And that's very sad. There's a name for that condition. Do you know what that name is? Well, it's pride. That's what it is. When somebody is critical of other people, but they can't see the faults in themselves, they're blind to the faults in themselves, that's pride. And pride is a great sin in the Word of God. There's so much pride in our society. This is why this society is so easily offended. Why are we so easily offended in our society? Because we're so proud. Everybody is so proud of themselves. Don't you dare say something bad about me. How dare you say this? How dare you say that? We're all so puffed up and proud. No wonder we're so easily offended, because this is a society that's so terribly proud. And pride, I've spoken about this many times. Do you know that pride is a great deception? Pride is a self-delusion. It deceives you. If you're proud, you are deceiving yourself. Pride makes you think that you are better than you actually are. Pride may make you think that you are more intelligent than you actually are. I know some people, they're so proud, they think they're more attractive than they actually are. It's a self-delusion. It's a false reality. Some people think they're more talented than they actually are. It's a delusion. And you know, Simon Peter, let's come back to him. What's he doing here? He's deluding himself. He's saying, I'm going to be strong. Don't worry, Lord. Everybody else will let you down, but I'll be strong. I will never let you down. He's deluding himself. It's a self-delusion, his pride. This is a deception. Are you under that deception? Everybody else in this world is a sinner, but not me. I'm good. Are you deceiving yourself like Simon Peter? Simon Peter, he says that he would never let the Lord down. What was actually the reality? That was his deception. I will never let you down. But the reality was very different. Well, we could look just very quickly at what happened. If you turn to verse 69 in this chapter, just towards the end, I'll just briefly look at these things, but this gives us some context. The Lord Jesus Christ has been arrested. He is being beaten and spat upon. And look at verse 69. Peter has followed him, but look what happens. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. That was the first denial. And then the second, another maid saw him in verse 71, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. This is the reality of Simon Peter. He's not who he thinks he is. And then verse 73, the third denial. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear. He's swearing, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him before the cock crow, Thou shalt deny me thrice. Dear friends, that's the reality. Are you somebody who has a false illusion of himself or herself, when actually the reality is that you're a sinner? And remember, this is a disciple. Simon Peter was a disciple. He walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew the Lord. They were friends, as it were, great friends. Christ was his master. But even this disciple, the foremost disciple, fails. And maybe this surprises us. Maybe we think to ourselves, how can this happen? How can the head disciple deny Christ three times? How can this happen of a Christian? Well, dear friends, do we understand, and I have to say this, do we understand that even Christians sin? Christians are not perfect people. Christians can stumble. They can fall into sin, shameful sin. And I say this because some people have the wrong understanding of Christianity and the Christian faith. Some people think to themselves that Christians, well, they're Christians because they're good people. Christians are good people. They are the ones who can keep the law of God. That's why they're Christians. Non-Christians are those who can't keep the law of God, and Christians are those who can keep the law of God. That's what some people think, but that's utterly wrong. That's not true at all. Nobody can keep the law of God. Nobody at all. Both groups fall short, whether you're an unbeliever or a believer. Nobody can keep the law of God. That's what we understand. But what's the difference? Well, the difference is that a believer, a Christian, knows the way of forgiveness for their sin. That's the difference. Sinners, unbelievers can sin, Christians can sin, but the difference is a Christian has found forgiveness. That's the difference. They have found Christ. And well, let me just, as we begin to draw to conclusion, we must focus on Christ. We don't want to focus just on Simon Peter's failure. But if we turn back to, let's look at verse 36, because we see here the Lord Jesus Christ, immediately after his prophecy that Simon Peter would fall, Christ goes to a place called Gethsemane. And well, in Gethsemane, Christ prays three times. Simon Peter, remember, he denied Christ three times. But Christ in the garden, he prays three times. What does he pray for? Look at verse 39. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And then he prays again in verse 42. The second time he prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. There is a cup that he has to drink. And then the third time, verse 44, he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Christ prayed three times. Why was he praying? What was this cup that he had to drink? Well, this was what Christ had come to do. Christ came to take upon himself the punishment for our sin. The punishment for the sins of all those who would trust in him. He would have to take the punishment for Simon Peter's betrayal. He would have to take the punishment for all of the disciples who left him. He would have to take the punishment for all of us, all of our sins that we have committed. That was the cup that he had to drink, the bitter cup. And he prayed three times. And he accepted that cup and he went to the cross. That was where it took place. That was where he would face the punishment for the sins of his people on the cross. Father, punish me instead of them. I will take their punishment. Why? Why would the Lord Jesus Christ do such a thing? Because he loves his people. Out of love for his people. You know, Simon Peter, he thought he loved Christ more than anybody else. But actually, it was the Lord Jesus Christ who loved him. He thought he would save the Lord Jesus Christ, Simon Peter. But actually, it was the Lord Jesus Christ who would save him and lay down his life for him. And these are wonderful things. The Lord Jesus Christ, this is the gospel. Dear friends, we draw to conclusion, but even though Simon Peter committed such a terrible denial, even though he had such a fall, he was forgiven. He was forgiven. He wasn't cast out of the disciples. He was used of the Lord. He preached on the day of Pentecost after the Lord had risen on high. So many people were saved. He was used mightily of the Lord. And dear friends, that's the same for us. This is the gospel message we preach week in, week out. In fact, these words, and I want to bring this to you because this is such a beautiful application. It's not mine. It's Richard Baxter's. I mentioned him last week. But he mentioned that these words of Peter, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. These words, this is what Christ actually says to us. Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Every single one of us, we have sinned greatly. We have shameful things in our past. We have secrets in our hearts, which if you told people, they would be offended. If you told your best friend what kind of thoughts you've had in the past week, they would be offended. If you told your parents what you've done as a youngster, they would be offended. We have great sins in our lives, but Christ is not offended at us. No matter what we have done, there are people who have great crimes, who have committed great crimes in their lives, and they've lost all their friends. And everybody disowns them. Nobody wants to know them. That might be the case for somebody here or somebody watching this. Have you done something? Nobody wants to know you because of what you have done. But Christ will know you. Christ will know you. These are his words, we could say. Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. You can come to me. You can know forgiveness for all of your sins. I have died for you. I have laid down my life for you. I love you. No matter what you have done, even if everybody else in the entire world hates you, I will never be offended at you. That's what Christ has done for us. If Christ had said these words, they would have been fully certain and true and sure. And this is the gospel invitation. Simon Peter knew the wonderful grace of God. There is plenteous mercy in Christ. Come to him if you don't know him. He will save you to the uttermost and be your captain and your king forevermore. May the Lord bless these things to us.